This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Let me ask you guys a question about the tournament. I love the tournament. I do. I watched the first game last night.
It's a good game.
Couldn't have gotten any better.
Man.
I was like, man, what a night.
Alabama State. Cross-court heave and basket with 1 second left.
I'm like, man, we are in for one hell of a night of college basketball. This is going to be great. This is what the tournament is. No. First one was great. Second one was
It wasn't a good sign for the night, but good sign for the tournament.
Good sign for the tournament. The fact that the Aztecs are out. Now, UCSD is still in. They play tomorrow.
They play tomorrow night at 7 p.m. against Michigan.
And so I thought about you last night, Benny, with the Aztecs going out. You too, Paulie. You guys will still be watching every frigging game you can get your hands on, right? Every single one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I thought the same thing.
It's 16 games tomorrow.
That's a lot. That's a lot of basketball tomorrow. That's a lot. Yeah, okay. But your interest in the tournament will not wane. Just because the Aztecs are out.
Definitely. I mean,
I'm the same way with baseball.
For UCSD?
My team gets knocked out. I still watch every single pitch of the playoffs, you know, and up through the World Series. It doesn't really matter because I love it. And I will.
I'll watch the women's games tonight. UCSD's playing in the 16-16 play-in game in the first four.
Who do they have?
Southern University.
Okay.
And then SDSU plays in the first round on Saturday at LSU. And their brash coach, Kim Mulkey. You've seen her in her outfits and everything.
She is something else.
I'd love to see an upset in that game. SDSU, big underdog in that one. But yeah, no, I'll watch it all. And, you know, I mean, you fill out brackets, so you also cheer for your brackets to.
Katie just said, and just like that, I do not care about March Madness.
That's fine.
That's also fine as well. Makes sense.
That's fine. We're going to talk some Padres here. And, you know, we got the word a couple of days ago that Yu Darvish was dealing with a little fatigue. And that's actually not uncommon in spring training, kind of a dead arm period.
Also for 38-year-olds.
Yeah, and Yu is very locked in terms of his own health and his arm, and there's no reason to push it here in the month of March, especially spring. So they said, hey, we're just going to give him a few days off. I think he'll still be ready for the season. But yesterday, a little more concerning when Mike Shildt gave an update on Yu Darvish in Peoria. Here's what the skipper had to say.
Got a little elbow inflammation post the game the other day. Again, some general fatigue associated with it. It's taking some time. Just got through playing catch. You know, feedback's a little bit early, but, you know, talking to medical, we'll see how he recovers from it. Give him a couple more days. You know, the alarm factor, we don't know what it is exactly. But he did have some elbow tightness, and he got through playing catch, was a good sign, and we'll take it day to day.
At this point, this would seem to be possible to affect.
It's possible that it could affect the beginning of the season. Not saying it's definite, but it's definitely possible, yes. But he's, through played catch today, so that's encouraging.
Has he had any imaging, or will he go for an MRI or anything like that?
Yeah, something from the medical department. If we want to release that as an organization, I'm not aware of that ability to share that.
How do you feel about where you are with your starting pitching depth right now, some of the options you have in camp?
We do have good options. That part's good. You know, we've got an opening day starter. We already had two.
I would hope so.
We chose Michael based on the days. You know, we got Cease, obviously, and, you know, we're really been very pleased with Pivetta and what he's doing and what he's going to do. Kolek's going to throw today. He's had a really good spring. I wasn't able to see it, but the feedback I got from people I trust highly, including our general manager, feels really good about Mr. Hart. Ruben was very encouraged as well. And Vasquez pitched for us last year and did a great job and has, you know, been better as the camp has gone. So a lot of good options. And then you have, you know, Matt Waldron, who has recovered. I haven't shared that in that 24 to 48-hour period we had talked about. But that initial 24 and now 48-hour period has been very, very favorable for Matt. Still going to be some downtime, but overall, big picture, as good as it could have been.
Do you have any idea when he might throw?
I'm not sure when he's going to throw. We're still, you know, a week away from just making sure it's healed, not having that setback we talked about early on. But it's sooner than we anticipated, but we don't have a firm date.
All right, so, yeah, you listen to Mike Schilt, and while he doesn't want to panic anybody, I'm concerned about you, Darvish.
Yeah.
Inflammation is definitely always something that you have to take seriously, you know, for pitchers. It's,
yeah,
inflammation is the sign that something may be strained or torn, yep, or, you know, or it could be nothing, but it's definitely the first step in bad news for a pitcher's elbow.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. I mean, Yu's throwing a lot of innings, man. He's got a lot of mileage on that arm. Throws a lot of different pitches, puts a lot of strain on that elbow as well. Maybe that's it. Maybe he didn't react to spinning it as much as he does. I have no idea. Only Yu knows how he truly feels. And once they get an MRI, they'll have a more clear picture of it. But yeah, man, it definitely takes him out of the three spot in the rotation as of now. You know, things could change as we know, but, slides Pivetta up to the three. And now you're looking for a four and a five, when you were looking for a five. So it's, I mean, look, it's bad news. There's no way to sugarcoat
now,
it.
Joe Musgrove apparently had an inflamed elbow the last 2 years,
yep,
and pitched pretty well, you know, for 2 years,
sure,
before it gave out. So it's, again, it's not, doesn't mean use out extended period of time.
Not yet.
You know, you're going to have to wait and see.
Using Joe Musgrove is not the most comforting comparison, though.
It's not.
Of how it ultimately ended.
It doesn't mean instant injured list either.
Yu's 38 years old, man. You know, he's on the back nine of his career anyway. And so if he feels that he can pitch through it and be effective, I think you let the player decide, right? You let the player decide, I can do this. I can get out there and get outs, you know, give you five innings or whatever. But, you know, that remains to be seen. And, you know, when that happens, you have to pivot and you have to make decisions. And Kolek was okay last night. He was okay. Got in a little trouble in the first, but battled out of it and actually had a decent outing. Gets a lot of soft contact, you know, and.
Which means you're going to give up some hits. And last,
sure,
night, you know, they found holes, had seven hits, but they were all singles. One of them was a bunt single.
Yep.
No extra base hits at all, which is the way you generally,
sure, dude, you know,
keep from getting things really out of hand. If it's just singles, sure, you can live with that. So I didn't think I was too disappointed with Stephen Kolek's performance against the Giants last night.
Yeah, you know what he pitched like? Pitched like a fifth starter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, no problem.
Yeah,
like, that's,
yeah, you're not expecting your fifth starter to go out and throw seven shutout,
sure,
innings every fifth day.
Yeah, there's one team that will, but other than that team has a different looking rotation. But as we stand here as Padres fans, yeah, man, Stephen Kolek, Kyle Hart, Randy Vasquez, those are the three guys battling for two spots now. And so There's other questions, obviously, about this team and what's going to happen. And, you know, I saw it posed yesterday and our buddy Tommy did it. And, you know, it's definitely something we should talk about. Benny, you brought it up before the show. What does it say about this team? Because again, nothing has been set in stone. We were pretty flabbergasted that they said, oh yeah, Hayward's locked up a spot and Yuli Gurriel's locked up a spot. The one guy people are talking about is Tyler Wade. Now, Tyler Wade, He's not having a good spring. There's no other way to look at it. Now, another guy that is Brandon Lockridge is having a Really, really good spring.
2 for 4 yesterday with a double. His average now .342 this spring. And he does a lot of things well.
He does. He plays good defense. He has a profile that San Diego likes, Ben. He walks a good amount. He doesn't chase a ton. He does not barrel the baseball like you would want. But again, you're talking about a fourth outfielder here. Is he a more valuable piece for the San Diego Padres than a Tyler Wade is? Listen, I think this isn't, I'm just telling you what we've heard and what we have been able to gather from that team. They value Tyler Wade for whatever reason. For whatever reason, they value him. They love him. Would you be surprised if he makes this team in a week? I wouldn't.
That's a good question.
Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying, would you be surprised?
How does it work when you have, I think Jose Iglesias is going to make the team.
I think so, too.
What's Tyler Wade's role? Where are you going to use him if
Correct.
He makes the team? Where are you actually going to use Tyler Wade?
If Tyler Wade is, well, you know.
If one of your infielders needs the day off.
You got
Jose Iglesias is going to play, not Tyler Wade.
Correct.
Now, if someone gets hurt, you know, it's nice to have a Tyler Wade as a, you know, sixth infielder at some point, but you don't keep that guy in your roster. You keep that guy at AAA and bring him up. Will Tyler Wade pass through waivers?
Yes.
If he doesn't make the team, or will another team claim him?
I think he'll. Don't you?
You could lose him if you don't put him on the roster.
Sure. And you have to be fine with that, I think. I mean, again, great dude. Had a friggin' blast getting to know him. Phenomenal interview. Would love to go out and tear up the town with Tyler Wade. There's no doubt. One of my favorite interviews we've ever done. That being said, you know, you want to win baseball games. And you want the guys that have earned their spots to get those spots. I just following this game, covering this game. Stuff like Yuli Gurriel and Jason Hayward and Tyler Wade making a team over guys like Oscar Gonzalez, Tirso Ornelas, and Brandon Lockridge happens all the time. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you.
It certainly looks like Tirso is going to start in the minor leagues.
Yep.
Oscar Gonzalez, who's now hitting .380, .415 OBP, and .520 slug after last night, also seems perhaps ticketed to AAA. But remember, he has an opt-out. So you're going to have to massage a little bit and go, hey, Oscar, we need you to start a little bit, but you're our first guy coming up, and we expect you to be on the big league club a lot of the time, maybe most of the time this season, because he would be someone that I think other teams would be interested in based on his spring that he has had. And I would worry about losing Oscar Gonzalez. Do you think you can keep him without keeping him on the big league roster on opening day? I don't know.
I have no idea. I have no idea what's in his head. I have no idea, you know, how many teams would jump on him immediately if he opted out, Ben. I would imagine, based on the spring that he's had, a few would give him a look. But again, I think it's, you know, you got to make decisions that you feel are the best for your team. I understand that. It's a very easy thing for management to say, is this is the best decision we thought for the San Diego Padres moving forward. But if you start to lose some of these guys, then yeah, man, it makes you question kind of, hey, what are we actually doing here with a 40-year-old Yuli Gurriel on the roster, with Tyler Wade, who's just had a miserable spring. Again, with other guys having good springs and showing you something, showing you their value.
While there's certainly a danger to losing someone like Tyler Wade, who everybody loves in the clubhouse,
right,
there's also a danger to not rewarding guys who are performing.
Correct.
I think there's nothing, in fact, could be more potentially damaging to a team than telling guys, hey, we don't care how well you've done. It doesn't matter.
We have our guys.
We've already picked our guy. What kind of message does that ever send to any sort of team?
I know.
Where performance doesn't matter. We already have our favorites. Tell me one team that's ever been successfully run with that as their philosophy.
Yeah.
The performance doesn't matter. We've already pre-selected our favorites, and you're not one of them.
Yeah.
It's not a winning strategy.
It's not, dude. It's not. I've seen it. Seen it in baseball many, 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 many times. I know how much Mike Schilt values Tyler Wade. I know it. He loves the ability to bunt. He loves the ability to run. He loves the ability to play a couple of different positions in the infield. But you also picked up Jose Iglesias, who has the ability to hit and has the ability to play multiple positions in the infield. There's your guy. You have a better option. And I, again, like, One of those instances.
Brandon Lockridge spent some time in the cage bunting. Bunt.
And you know he can run.
You can run. You can play outfield. And guess what? He's actually been hitting some this spring, too.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Had a really good AB off the Giants closer last night. I mean, just smoked one into the gap. He's a fun player to watch. And you got him for Eniel De Los Santos. So that's a dub. That's a dub already. But yeah, man, I think, you know, we're going to overreact to the final roster. You know we are, as everybody will.
Which you shouldn't, but because the roster will change in minutes.
Correct.
As it does in baseball.
But
this is what we got to go on right now.
But that is, yes, you're absolutely right. The roster will change. You need all those guys. But if you start losing guys, if you start, you know, losing an Eggy Rosario who brings some value, if you start losing a Brandon Lockridge, and I don't think you will, but if you start losing guys that bring value because of favoritism type picks, it makes you kind of question it and go, well, guys, what are we actually up to? Now, again, the ultimate decision makers are AJ Preller and Mike Schilt and their team. That's fine. We're going to have to live with those decisions. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them.
All right. We will come back, have a little don't do this. I've got an update. Remember the reporter from Telemundo, Kansas City, who died at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Got an update on that mysterious case and the woman who was seen leaving his hotel room. We'll have that for you and more coming up next on Don't Do This. First, though, I want to tell you about SDFatLoss.com and the program I used almost 2 years ago now to lose 40 pounds in 60 days. It's real. It's real. I promise you. I thought I was a little skeptical. Obviously, I've done other weight loss plans. I had lost weight. Hated it, though. Hated the bars and the mixes every single meal. And then I gained the weight back because I couldn't stick with it forever. No one can. But this program, you can. It's based on real foods. It's things you eat anyway. Steak, chicken, vegetables. I got into the groove. I lost the weight. I have kept all the weight off. Find out how it can work for you. Schedule a free consultation by going to sdfatloss.com. And if you sign up now, the spring special is still underway. $200 off the program. And it's all in. You don't have to buy extra food. You don't have to pay for injections. There's none of that. It's simply a great program, great counselor, and proprietary strategies that will help you reset your metabolism so you can lose weight quickly and keep it off for good. So many tier ones have gone through the program, lost thousands of pounds. You can as well. Just go to sdfatloss.com again to schedule your free consultation at sdfatloss.com. Results may vary.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. I like that.
What a contribution from our boss,
Adam. I like that together.
Phenomenal.
That's amazing. All right, I'll start with an update from a story we had on DDT during Super Bowl week. The unexpected death of 27-year-old Kansas City Telemundo reporter Adan Manzano, who was found dead in his hotel room in New Orleans. The next day, police investigated 48-year-old Danette Colbert on charges that she had stolen Manzano's cell phone and bank card. So what happened? Did she kill him and take his stuff, or did he die on his own? What was the investigation? So they have an update. And police have now issued a warrant for arrest on murder charges.
Ooh.
They say that Manzano was found, and this is the coroner's report.
God.
He was found with a mix of alcohol and Xanax in his system. And he died by asphyxiation just in his pillow. Like, he was so completely passed out. He could not move, and he was in a position where he wasn't breathing. Now, did she put him in that position, or did he just happen to fall in a bad position and die?
Did she give him all that Xanax and alcohol?
It seems like that, yes. It seems as though the investigation is leading toward he was definitely you know, drugged by her. Now, did she intend to kill him or not? I don't think it really matters.
Yeah.
If he ends up dead, you're going to be responsible for it. But she definitely stole his credit card and valuables and then was arrested the following day. So that's the update on that investigation. Sad story from Super Bowl week for a very young reporter who was there probably just to have fun and enjoy it and cover the Super Bowl and never made it back.
That's terrible, man. This is an update to yesterday's Don't Do This story of Tracy Morgan. Everyone was pretty worried about Tracy Morgan after he vomited profusely on the court at Madison Square Garden watching his beloved Knicks play. And they wheeled him off. He had a bloody nose. He had thrown up some sort of brown liquid all over the ground. It was really quite a scene. But he now has come out and said that he's doing okay. He said it was food poisoning. Went to Instagram and posted he's doing okay. Doctors say it was food poisoning. Appreciate my MSG family for taking such good care of me. Need to shout out the crew that had to clean that up. Appreciate you. More importantly, the Knicks are now 1-0 when I throw up on the court. So maybe I'll have to break that out again in the playoffs. But yeah, that's really, really good news on a pretty gnarly story from yesterday.
Ben. I obviously just thinking about that, like from a personal standpoint, if you threw up all over the court at an NBA game,
yeah,
feels like it'd be very embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yet I think Tracy can rest assured, like everyone like was just wishing for the best for him,
yeah,
and hoping that he was okay. And it turns out he is. Everyone's dealt with food poisoning. And you know what? Even a terrible episode like that, you know what? It's going to be all right.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's different for different people. I don't know that Tracy, as a comedian, I don't know that he feels, he's like, hey, that was a, you don't feel embarrassed because people were really worried about your health. It wasn't like he got hammered and you know, embarrassed himself, and he was, and then threw up. That'd be a little bit tougher to come back from. But if my dude was actually sick and had food poisoning, you know, no harm, no foul. It happens. Happens to the best of us.
All right. Finally, let's go do this
D-D
here.
Mega doo-doo.
And the do this is for a phenomenal radio, television, broadcasting career for San Diego's own Ted Leitner. Did not end, I'm sure, the way he wanted to last night. The final.
Definitely not.
Final basketball game.
Do it for Teddy.
Broadcasting career. He was hoping that at least it would go on to Milwaukee for a first-round game. Didn't happen, but Uncle Teddy, just after decades in San Diego, is hanging up the microphone. His final basketball game last night came in Dayton, Ohio.
Sir, you're a moron.
And just... Can't say enough about how important he was to, you know, this town, sports fans in this town for years and years. The voice of the Padres, the Chargers, the Aztecs.
Thank you, Bobby Flay.
Television, radio shows, everything. Can't salute you enough, Uncle Teddy.
The lore of Teddy Leitner, the stories that are trickled down, you know, to guys like us over the years. I mean, the guy had a uncanny ability. I've heard from several people that have worked with him, including, you know, stories from my wife. Her late father worked with Uncle Teddy for years. And the guy, Ben, had this ability to come on the air for a 5-minute hit and just riff. Like, who does that? We do it, but like, who does that on television? They just get up there and they just go and they riff and they just fire the hottest takes, you know, like he had no fear when he had a microphone in front of him. And I appreciate that about Uncle Teddy very much. And I've told this story before. When I first got to San Diego, put on the Padres game, and I listened to Uncle Teddy, and I thought, wow, this is quite jarring. It was an acquired taste for me. Didn't take long. Once I heard the stories, once I met the man, had the chance to talk to him before, it was like the finest wine. The finest wine, Uncle Teddy Leitner.
I think, and I see other opinions on Teddy was very polarizing in his career, whether it was his sportscasts on TV or his style of play-by-play. Wasn't necessarily for everyone, you know. Wasn't my dad's favorite broadcaster.
Sounds familiar.
Wasn't even my favorite broadcaster at times. Honestly, if there's no one that you're going to love every single moment of every day. But as I got to know Ted personally, you know, watching him growing up, and then, you know, actually have gotten to know him personally, I think I fell into the trap that a lot of people thought, that Ted, he's just an arrogant SOB and doing that TV thing. He wasn't. his humility, I think, was genuine. He always felt it was about the athletes that he covered, the teams that he covered, the players that he talked about. And I truly feel like he always appreciated and felt blessed that he just got to be a part of it.
People that
his entire career.
People that are arrogant have a hard time making fun of themselves, you know, and he's not one of those guys. He never had a hard time making fun
never.
Of himself.
Never. He could easily poke fun at himself.
Oh, and that's the best. That is the absolute best quality in a broadcaster that you can have, the ability to poke fun at yourself.
I think it's timely because March Madness going on, college hoops, the best Ted Leitner clip for me
ever.
Of all time.
Yep.
This is 10 years ago probably now, Mountain West tournament in Las Vegas, and Ted
Hall of Famer here
losing his mind on the radio broadcast because security wanted him to move his suitcase because he was going straight to the airport after the game, I believe.
57-56, Aztecs. These guys are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Driving down the lane. They get it. We got a broadcast here, and you're worried about a suitcase. Unbelievable. These people are unbelievable in this arena. They got security guards, think they're guarding the Pentagon. Coming over here, interrupting me during a broadcast to worry about a suitcase.
I mean...
Unbelievable. Stupid. Totally stupid. At the line. Excuse me. Bairstow, free throw, of course. He can't miss. New Mexico comes on back on the and one by Cameron Bairstow. The 59-57 lead. Had a guy reach over my shoulder, tapping me on the shoulder, asking me a question during the drive there by Cameron Bairstow. Because my suitcase is behind the chair, and he thinks it's too much in the way by these morons that think the terrorists are honing in here on the Mountain West tournament in Las Vegas.
It's some 21-year-old kid in an elite security jacket.
Hey, bud, can you move that suitcase? He's
God.
Incredible.
Did you not see that I'm live on the radio?
I'm literally live
right now.
It's such a. It's iconic is what it is. It's iconic. And I love Teddy. And hate to see it end that way for him. But I think when he looks back, got nothing to be ashamed of. Man, what a great career. Love you, Teddy.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Everybody realizes that 67 of the 68 teams in the tournament will lose their last game.
Yep.
Some of them will get blown out as well. Happened to the Aztecs first, but who honestly ever remembers the first four games? We do here that today, no one around the country, everyone is going, oh, this is a humiliation for the Aztecs program. That's embarrassing. They'll never get over that. No one will remember the first four next week. No one at all is going to remember. No, they won't.
They will. The Aztecs will remember.
The Aztecs will remember.
McBoy just said he's going to remember.
Yes, but every other fan in the country who probably didn't even watch the game last night, honestly, because it's not.
Why are you smoking this copium straight out of the bong right now?
I'm not. I'm just
ganja, aka cannabis.
I didn't even remember. Do you remember last year how the Aztecs lost their last game to UConn?
How they lost?
Yeah, how they lost.
No.
Lost by 30. It was the worst loss of Brian Dutcher's entire tenure as coach of the Aztecs.
I have no
I couldn't
recall.
Have told you it was a 30-point game.
I have zero recall.
Or they lost to UConn.
Don't ask me.
I knew they lost to UConn. I couldn't have told you that it was a 30-point game. Couldn't have told you.
Yeah, the humiliation lasts for about 24 hours.
Exactly.
And then it's
that,
over.
That's
yeah.
all I'm saying.
You got to sit in it for a day.
He lost to North Carolina. So what?
Yep.
So what?
Yep.
You know, that's it. It's over. And the tournament ended like it will for everybody.
Yep.
All right, we'll come back, and our tournament of drops will continue with our Final Four matchups. We'll reveal their Elite Eight winners. And we're already down to the Final Four in our sixth annual tournament of drops that is coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Wanted to tell you quickly about QC Kinetics. Was at the gym again yesterday. Man, I'm lifting heavier than I ever have in my entire life. I could not lift a 5-pound dumbbell. 2 years ago, I had severe pain in both wrists. Couldn't play baseball, guitar, pick up my kids. You've heard my spiel about this before. Again, I can't say enough good things about what they've done for me at QC Kinetics. So if you are walking around right now, or let's say you're not walking because of the pain in your knees, pain in your hips, pain in your shoulders or other joints, you have trouble sleeping, walking, just day-to-day movement, you wake up, it's creaky, go see QC Kinetics today, all right? Avoid surgery, all the pain, long recovery, uncertainty that comes with it. I highly, highly recommend. highly recommend QC Kinetics. Call them today. Ask for your free consultation. Learn how the latest advances in regenerative medicine can get you lasting pain relief with no drugs, no surgery, and no downtime. My friends, call QC Kinetics in Torrey Hills and Hillcrest. You'll get a free consultation when you do. The number, 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. QC Kinetics, they'll get the job done for you. 619-614-PAIN. Let them know that my old pal Woodsy from 97.3 The Fan sent me.
Almost sad that our Tournament of Drops is going to be over in 2 days.
I actually think we need to jack it back up to 64 next year because I had so much fun doing
it. I look forward to it all year.
I do too, man.
And then it happens so quickly. But then again, I don't want to unnecessarily drag it out over a three-week period.
Oh, we could speed it up somehow.
We don't have 64 drops a year.
We do.
I mean, they'd get pretty...
We just need to listen more intently.
There. They'd get pretty out there at the end of the... I mean, you want them to be significant.
That's true.
Show
there
drops.
Would be 30 drops that, like, you just said like, something one time and they never got played again. That doesn't make them a drop.
That's
like,
true.
The drops are, you know...
Oh, my God.
Like that, yeah, you hear them throughout the show every occasion.
We were watching the game last night. Bo was laying next to me, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, he just goes, crumb creep. And I died laughing. I go, how great is that? And he goes, I love it. You're a crumb creep. So I showed him the origin video of the mayor from Philadelphia threatening to beat up three reporters that have come to question him about some malfeasance. And he called him a crumb creep coward. I'll take you behind that wall. Just me and the three of you, and then we'll see what happens. It was the best.
Will Crumb Creep, though, make it into our final four of the Tournament of Drops? Pauly, if you would, a little music. All right, let's get back to the in our Tournament of Drops. It is time to reveal the winners of the Elite Eight.
All right, Benny, we will start with a 1-2 matchup yesterday. This was the Bow region, I believe.
Yes, top left Bow region.
You had your number one seed, the overall number one seed of the tournament.
You got a problem.
And that was going up against Bo's favorite drop.
You're a crumb creep.
Oh, God, this is going to be brutal. This is so difficult. I'm going to be sad when either of these drops lose. This is the problem with tournaments.
Yeah.
Someone has to lose.
Someone's got
to
lose.
Now, this one was fairly close.
I've got to imagine.
But with 54.2% of the vote, the Tier 1s have spoken. Moving on to the Final Four from the Bow region, the number one seed.
You got a problem.
I mean, you can't go wrong. You really can't go wrong.
Could we have a future Hacksaw region in this tournament?
Potentially. Who knows? Potentially.
You got a problem.
You've got a problem.
In to the final four of the Tournament of Drops.
All right,
let's go down to the Juan Soto region. It was the only region where we didn't have a 1-2 matchup.
Yep.
In our seedings of the Tournament of Drops. It was the number 5 seed that snuck out of the top half of that region.
Brian Gass.
And Edwards going up against Adams. Mistake on the board, allowing a promo to play that should have never heard the light of day.
Many say it cursed this franchise.
Have slayed the dragon again.
Many say it cursed this franchise for years to come. So we'll see, I guess.
Cursed them into 24 scoreless.
Yeah, sure did.
Well, with 53.2% of the
vote,
again,
one.
Very close. Just a few votes separation here. Sorry, Adam, you're moving on to the final four.
The Padres have slayed the dragon again.
It's the again that gets me.
All right, so that's the left side of the bracket complete. Let's go over to the right side of the bracket, our Elite Eight matchup in the Kelly Danick region, the number one seed right at the top. Yours truly, Ganja, a.k.a. Cannabis, going up against the man right over here, the number 2 seed.
Dylan Thief. Gotta be Ganja.
And Pauly, the final results of the voting?
You know, next week or in a couple of weeks when you're watching the Elite Eight matchups, they're going to be close games.
Yeah.
But occasionally you're going to have a number 1 seed that even in the Elite Eight, they just dominate.
Sure.
And we had it again, 76.1% of the vote. Goes to the number 1 seed, Ben Higgins.
100%.
Cannabis aficionado.
Ganja, a.k.a. Cannabis. Apparently Dylan Thief couldn't make a shot, was turning the ball over all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 40-point blowout.
He was on 3 days rest.
In the Elite Eight matchup there.
Yep.
So ganja, a.k.a. cannabis, into the Final Four. That leaves just one spot remaining in the Final Four of our Tournament of Drops. It will come from the Don Orsillo region, where the number one seed was, again, yours truly. Hot beef!
Oh, gotta win.
And going up against a past champion, Don Orsillo himself, the namesake of the region, the number two seed.
Merrill Madness!
Pauly, what were the results?
Actually, very similar to our second vote. 53.2%, 46.8%. Very, very tight race between Hot Beef and the Don Orsillo drop. But it looks like Don Orsillo channeling his UConn. They're moving on. He's a powerhouse
he's
in this tournament.
He's unbeatable in this thing.
Merrill Madness!
There are t-shirts of both sayings floating around San Diego now. Hot Beef t-shirts
True.
And Merrill Madness t-shirts.
I'll have both, actually.
You
I have
will?
A Merrill Madness shirt and my Hot Beef
He's
sweatshirt.
Got both at my house now as
we'll
well.
We'll be here soon.
So
you have a Hot Beef?
No, my wife does.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
She is wearing it proudly. Merrill Madness into the Final Four. So there you go. Your Final Four is now set. And it is time to open the voting for the two matchups that will determine our championship contestants. We will start on the left side of the bracket. The Bowoods region winner.
You got a problem.
Going up against the Juan Soto region winner.
The Padres have slayed the dragon again.
Oh man.
Adam definitely has got a problem.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
So Adam's going to be so mad if that wins because he really thought he should have won with the extra sweet a couple of years ago.
And he should have.
I agree. But he's so mad that he didn't win that one. And you're like, all right, well, now you won.
Now that Donnie's in, I feel like he runs away with it. It's going to be like a Juan Soto good morning all over again.
Yeah. Well, here's the matchup on the right side of the bracket. The Kelly Danik region winner, the one seed.
Ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
Against
that can take down Orsillo.
I hope so.
I mean, it was the strongest winner from the Elite Eight.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Into the Final Four. But can it take down a past champion, the number two seed in the Don Orsillo region? Those are your two matchups to start voting on now. Go to our social media channels, click on our Google Vote link form, and start casting your ballots. They will close tomorrow morning when Pauly arrives at the station around 5 a.m. or so. So you've got about 22 hours to get your votes in before it is over. And then we will have our championship matchup tomorrow, and we will crown our winner on Friday during our live broadcast from Dave and Buster's. If you want to be with us when we crown the Tournament of Drops champion,
yeah,
we would certainly love to see you out there for college basketball viewing and more. Our Dave and Buster's all-day-long celebration, kicking things off at 6 a.m., and then Braden Show and Gwen and Chris Show going to be out there as well, even the Scraby Show, all the way until 7 o'clock. You're going to have breakfast, burrito, bar. You're going to have drink specials on mimosas, Bloody Marys, and beer throughout the day. A basketball, pop a shot, shooting competition, and hourly raffle giveaways. Just join us at Dave and Buster's at 2931 Camino del Rio North on Friday for a full day of fun with your favorite fan talk show. So there's the bracket. Look at that. It's gotten filled in very quickly.
Into our pictures in there. Yeah. I know exactly who I'm voting for in both of these. It wasn't even difficult in the slightest. Do you think they'll let us cut down a net at Dave and Buster's for the champion?
I know that if I was the manager at Dave and Buster's,
you'd say no.
That would be a hard no.
That'd be a hard no. You'd have to.
What, I've got to find another net then to replace the net that you just cut down?
We'd have to jump up over the partition,
right,
climb
which is hard.
Up
it's,
to the thing.
I mean, it's hard to climb into a
pop-a-shot
machine.
Yeah, it is. It is. I would like to cut down a net for the.
That would be fun, though.
For the
I've
final.
Never cut down a net.
I haven't either.
Got to cut down a net just a few days ago.
It's pretty cool.
For the Mountain West Women's Championship for San Diego State. I've never cut down a net.
No, nor have I.
We've never really earned any
net
cutting downs in our profession.
Haven't played basketball since seventh grade YMCA.
Team, right,
what did they call me? I think I was most improved.
Me too.
Which is
you don't want that.
No,
I was also most improved in seventh grade.
Look at us.
Dude. What's worse, most improved or best teammate?
Oh, it's close. I feel like
close.
Best teammate is even sadder than most improved.
I think so too.
That means we got to give this kid something.
I'm out of ideas here for this dude.
Usually most improved. Usually there's like three or four really bad players at the end of the bench that are candidates for most improved. Mm-hmm. And at least you beat out those other three guys.
I scored a couple buckets.
Didn't improve
you
got as better. Much yeah. during the course
I improved.
Of the season.
Only in youth sports would most improve be a bad thing.
Right.
You know? So, I'm excited for Dave and Buster's, though. It's going to be a fun day.
All right. The Padres are already a game back in the NL West. Is the race for the division title over? We will talk about that after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Now, Benny, last night the Aztecs led that basketball game for 25 seconds.
They did.
That's it. That's the extent of their lead. The Dodgers are 2-0 right now. They are, two games. They've played two games. Nobody else has even played any games. Will the Padres ever lead the division in 2025?
Fair.
Nope. I mean, the one chance you have to tie the division is the fact that the Dodgers have to face Tarek Skubal.
Yes.
In their first game. I mean, even against...
But you have to face Chris Sale.
Even against...
Your first game.
And then you have to beat Chris Sale. And if you do that, then you're tied. But...
No, they're 2-0.
No, they're 2-0.
Yeah, well, they'd be 2-1, you'd be 1-0. So you'd be tied, essentially, a game above 500 in the standings, but pretty ahead. It depends on how you define it. But that's your best chance would be, beat Chris Sale on opening day and hope that the Dodgers lose to Tarek Skubal. The Dodgers are so good that they'll be fairly solid favorites in that game against the Detroit Tigers, against the best pitcher in the American League, and they will still be favored to win that game. Will the Dodgers ever be an underdog in any game this season?
No.
Not one. They will be favored in all 162 games.
I'd imagine.
No matter the matchups. I mean,
you don't know. I mean, if the entire team gets malaria, then they have to bring up AAA guys.
Let's say it's August, and they've got a couple pitchers on the injured list, and Landon Knack is starting against another team's ace.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
are the Dodgers ever a slight underdog in any game at all this season?
Well, they didn't have a lot of trouble with the Cubs, who are, they're
expected to be solid favorites in the NL Central.
Yeah, and they're working in some new players there in Chicago, but you got to remember the Dodgers were without Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts and still handled. I think the Cubs got the tying run up to the plate in the ninth today. But the Cubs weren't good at all.
And I think they're clearly the best team in that division.
The
Reds are maybe challenging. After that, I think it's a step down to the rest of the division. Pirates, Brewers, and also,
if you're just giving guys home runs, that aren't home runs, it's going to be
all
tough
right,
to
so
beat
did
that
anybody
team.
See this? If
I did.
You're just waking up, early in the morning, but Shohei Ohtani hit his first home run of the season, even though seemed quite clear to anybody watching, even the broadcasters, that the ball didn't go over the fence. A fan reached over, caught it. If he hadn't caught it, probably would have hit the top of the wall. Should have been ruled a ground rule double. But instead, they actually did, I guess, go to very quickly to a replay and not only not confirm the home run, overturned it and turned it into a home run. Like, you're not going to get better home cooking in Los Angeles than you got on that ruling for Shohei Ohtani for his first home run of the season. So,
2-2 pitch, and he sends one
smoked
deep.
It.
Up towards right center field, back at the wall, and it is off the very top of the wall. Nearly a home run, and now they're going to rule it perhaps as a home run. It is
quick.
They kept it in play for a moment, but Ohtani cranks one out, and he gives the fans what they've been waiting for.
He
his first of the year.
Come again?
What did he do?
Hmm.
Save that ASAP.
Tournament of drops. 100%
the 2 seed right off the chute. What did he do?
Perhaps as a home run, it is. They kept it in play for a moment, but Ohtani cranks one out, and he gives the fans what they've been waiting for, his first of the year.
Actually, no, I did not want to see that, to be honest. I don't want to watch Ohtani crank one out ever. Never.
I'm good.
Never do I want to see him crank one out in any fashion.
I'm sure it'll be on MLB's Instagram when it does happen, but.
Yeah. Pretty nuts, man. So the deal was, it was fan interference. Should have been a double. They gave him the home run. Somebody said, why didn't counsel challenge? I I think he did.
Well, you can't. I don't think you challenge. Those are automatic.
They auto reviewed it, and they reviewed it really, really quickly. Like it didn't take any time at all. And they're like, "Hey, man, he's in the Tokyo Dome. I mean, it's Shohei Ohtani. We're going to give him the home run."
To be fair, it was a fairly easy call. But just got it wrong. But it was. I mean, it shouldn't have taken long to say yes. That is a double for Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
But they decided, you know what? That would be more fun.
It's more fun.
In Japan to give him a home run.
It's like the thing in basketball. They're like, you can't call that there. Yes, it's a foul, but you can't call that there.
This is Japan. This is Shohei Ohtani. Like,
it's
a home run.
You don't see that a lot in baseball. Like, just give it to him. Just give it to him.
Ohtani cranks one out.
Thank you, Paulie.
I mean, if it had been 4 feet foul, would they have given it to him anyway?
No,
possibly.
That one, maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Possibly. I'm not sure. Kike Hernandez also hit a home run and drove in three as the Dodgers won 6-3 and wrapped up the two-game sweep of the Cubs. And they did it without either Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman, who didn't play in either game. Mookie, due to illness, sent home. Freddie, due to the rib injury he suffered warming up for the game yesterday in batting practice. So it was really Ohtani and Edmund and Kike who carried him. Will Smith, he's hitting .500. Good start to the season for Will Smith. So there's your update. Cubs 0-2, Dodgers 2-0. Everybody else gets started a week from tomorrow.
And now we take a week off.
Yep, just so like dumb. Padres and Dodgers did last year after Korea. All right, we'll come back. I'm not looking forward to this moment, but I did promise is a promise. Coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.